And then we're going to have communion later on in our service. So we started off with our earlier reading, just that one verse. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. Now, that's going to be picked up in our next reading, which is given in the New Testament by the Apostle Paul when the church, to a church having an argument, some people in the church at least having an argument. And they're having an argument over, oh, what should you eat and what shouldn't you eat? What's good to eat? What's not good to eat? You can imagine it. There's a lot of talk about food and what you should eat nowadays. And they had a particular problem of, should Christians eat food that had been offered to idols or might have been offered to idols? Or what exactly should you eat? Does it need to be kosher or not? Does it need to be halal or not? Vegetarian? No, you can't. No, eating meat? No, no, this isn't even a vegetarian thing. So, anyway, you get the thing. But in the middle of this, you will hear a reference that will go back to that ancient Shema. The Lord your God is one. Let's hear it. Thank
you. It's from 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Verse 4 to verse 8. So then, about eating food sacrificed to idols, we know that an idol is nothing at all in the world, and that there is no God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things came and for whom we live. And there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we live. But not everyone knows this. Some people are still so accustomed to idols that when they eat such food, they think of it as having been sacrificed to an idol. And since their conscience is weak, it is defiled. But food does not bring us near to God. We are no worse if we do not eat, and no better if we do.
Thank you, Steve. You spotted it, didn't you? In its modified form. Well, now, at the moment, I will need, I know immediately I'll need the clicker. I wonder if, I'll get it. I know where it is. Otherwise, I'm going to be looking at the screen expecting it to change, and it won't. And we can't have that. There we go. Thank you, Chris. That's lovely. So if we could have our... That will go in, and the PowerPoint will come up. Go, and it will. Yes! I love it when it all works. It doesn't always, but I love it when it does. Because we're going to start our new year with God. And we're going to start, as we start our new year with God, we're going to see if we've got our feet on bedrock. Is that understanding of God, our relationship with God, is that on bedrock? Or are we in the wrong place and on some sort of sandy soil? So we're going to check our bedrock. We're going to start the year by talking about God, which is what you'd expect when you come to church, I guess. So, when we're thinking about God, talking about God, what is God like? Well, some children were asked at primary school to do some pictures of God to try and illustrate what they thought about God. And some of the things they came up with were the sort of things, yes, sort of things you might expect. There we go. There's a lovely picture there. And that girl thinks that God is like Superman. That's not Superman, is it? That's Superwoman. So there she is. She's drawn the Superman. That's God for you. And this person has said God has giant hands, giant ears, so he can hear everything we are saying. Oh, very good. Yes. So trying to trying to picture God in that way. So God is either a woman or a man, I'm not sure which, neither do you. So I drew God half woman, half man. There we are. I'd love to know what her household discussions are about the role of men and women. So there we are. So she's thinking about the gender of God. That's what she's come up with. God has at his cloud desk. So there is his cloud desk with all the screens there going on so that he can monitor the world. Yes? An image of God for you? Useful? Or completely bonkers? There we are. God is here. He's somewhere in the trees, in the forest experience. How about that? Mistaken? Weird? Or something in there? Ah, and this is God who collects files on us. Collects files on everything you've done, your good deeds and your bad deeds, the things you should have done and shouldn't have done, how you were with other people, whether you loved them, hated them. God's got a file on you. That's the sort of God we have. There we go. Children's views of God. The image you have of God will dictate how you live out your faith, whether you like it or not. And although they're early pictures, early years of people trying to work out what God is like, those images which we now at this stage in life have finally put together, the image you have, it is going to dictate expression of your faith. So, is your image on bedrock, the bedrock of God himself? So, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. We're going to start there. Now we're, as a church, we're a member of the Evangelical Alliance, which has put this belief together as one of the belief statements which we adhere to as well. And it's expressed this way. We believe in the one true God. We say, yes, that comes straight out of that passage from Deuteronomy, straight out of our understanding of God himself. We believe in one true God. We had that in that passage that was read for us, expanded it a little bit. But yet there is but one God. The Apostle Paul is saying, for Christians, this hasn't changed at all. We still adhere to that, the one God, from whom all things came, for whom we live. And, bonus, extra, as Christians, there's but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we live. So there has been a change in our understanding of God in Jesus. We still believe in one God. We believe in Jesus as one God as well, as part of that one God. And, well, we haven't even got on to the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit as well. So, we believe in the one true God. God is not simple, therefore. Not some easy concept to grasp. And so, as we try and get our image of God, we have to be very careful. Let me show you why. On something completely different, aliens. Aliens. There we go. Now these are images of how people see aliens. The top one there and the dead alien there are classic images of aliens that are obviously held in places in America, in some vaults somewhere, sightings of aliens in recent days, which some say, yeah, that's what they look like. That's right. And there's this odd image in this bottom corner here, all blurry. Yeah, and it is actually blurry. It's not the projection of some person walking along. Well, no, it's an alien. It's an alien sighting, so-called. The one thing you'll notice of all of them is that they're rather in our image, aren't they? The size is about our size. They're not giant, nor are they so tiny you can fit them in a test tube. They're about our size. They've got the same number of eyes, noses, mouths. They have the same number of limbs. And they are very humanoid, aren't they? And they're in our image. We have to be careful because we put things in our image. It's our only frame of reference. And our tendency is to make God in our image and project ourselves onto God. So let's check and see if our understanding of God as Father, Son, and Spirit is well-based. When it comes to God as Father, our initial instinct, and let's be very careful, is to say, ah, God's like my earthly father. Natural, isn't it? And immediately our image of God depends on a person. And if our father is austere, so we say that must be God. If our father has been remote, that's how we see God. If our father's a strict disciplinarian, we say, that's just what God's like. He must be like that as well. Or how about if our father is an absent figure or a negligent figure? What does that say about our immediate understanding of our Father God? Catherine Shumate is a Christian writer, and she writes this. If our Father did not display God's character, or even the basic protective instincts of a parent, it stains our understanding of the entire position of Father. As a child, I learned that fathers are scary and unpredictable, never to be trusted with the body, mind, or heart. Children whose fathers are willfully absent learn that fathers cannot be depended on for anything. We learn that fatherly love is either fickle or a contradiction in terms. Our fathers lied to us about what God is like. And when it comes to God as Son, it's very easy to transfer our view of how you relate to a man, fellow man, and transfer that onto what Jesus as Son is like. Sometimes it's very chummy. He's one of us. He's one of the lads. Jesus will go along with what we're like. That's easy. He's just like us. Or maybe some sort of romantic attachment. Oh, yes, that's how I relate to him. Yeah, he's my date, and that's the sort of love I can have. Jesus, the kindly face of God, who's not into all that scary stuff. You know, the consequences of not following God, he wouldn't harm us. He's not like that. And we make Jesus in our image. And we pull him down. The Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we won't even talk about the Holy Spirit. Or when we do, we just say, bring God down to be some sort of spiritual, sort of airy. Ah, yes, the Holy Spirit. I could do the Holy Spirit because that's easy. Spiritual things. We all talk about spirituality. Even between religions, we don't argue about what spirituality is. That's easy. And we transfer into that God, the Holy Spirit, our view of the spiritual. Or we get into the power of the Spirit. We say, ah, the power, yes. I can do power, I like power, and I can manipulate power, maybe by doing this, that, and the other. The power of the Spirit comes, I like power. And we somehow soil understanding of Spirit. God, the bedrock of belief, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Get rid of the aliens. We believe in one true God, who lives eternally in three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit. Right, so quickly run through it. God was revealed to us in the Bible. God, the Father. And the Father image simply means, it's that one, isn't it? Father image simply means the head, the one who is over us, the one who is there for us to protect us, to nurture us, the one who we go to for wisdom. He is also the one we answer to. That image is in Father as well. We answer to him. We don't answer to other people. Ultimately, we don't answer to our parents, to our children, to the local community, to the media, to religious authorities. God is our judge. We answer to him. And that either brings in us a rebellion to say, I will not have that, I will not answer to anyone, or it brings a rejection. I'll have nothing to do with God, who is my judge. Or it brings about a celebration. How wonderful that God is like that. And it brings our acceptance and devotion as we live in security. Catherine Shoemate continues, she said, with her own testimony, she said, I've learned the biblical truth about God once I became a Christian. But it took years for me to find joy in knowing God as Father. Until then, it was a matter of obedience and faithfulness to call God my Father. It took years to change her image, but she did it, and she got there, and it transformed her life. And so we go to the window, seeing what God is like, Jesus, Emmanuel, God in person, one of us, perfectly saved by us. But look, we know there is a tendency to make Jesus some sort of boyfriend for girls or chum who'll go along and do anything with us for others. To guard us from that, the Bible clearly says to us where Jesus is now. Where is he? At the right hand of the Father, exalted. He's the exalted one. He is above us. He is Lord over us. He's not the one who simply approves and nods of everything that we do, or there to sort of get carried away with. He is there as Lord of all. We believe in the one true God, part of the same God and Trinity. And then finally, the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is God active among us, God present among us, God with us, and God empowering us as well. So there is that power of the Spirit is really important, demonstrating God among us, but also enable us to do the things of the kingdom of God, bringing that rule of God down among us. And the Spirit brings the power to enable that. And this is our God. We believe in the one true God who lives eternally in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it's to him we come. So we start the new year. How do you see God? Your image of God, remember, is going to dictate how your faith is expressed. Now, we are going to sit under the mystery. So it's a mystery sometimes even working out what shape would go into all those holes. We say, that's difficult enough. And there's always going to be mystery to God. Of course there is. He's beyond us and he's above us. But we can continue to know this God. We can know God. And we could put our foundations down. But what does it mean for this week ahead? If you've got our feet on that bedrock, that this is our God, one God, the true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, it makes a difference to the way you can approach your work. A lot of work is mundane, isn't it? It's humdrum. And some of it is fairly pointless. We do something and, oh, move to the next task. Oh, move to the next task. Oh, I'm exhausted. Move to the next task. And so it goes on, week by week, day by day. Feet on the bedrock. That's what life is all about. This is God's world, God's way. And my life is held in the hands of that same God. It makes a difference to the housework. getting the house tidy, doing the dishes again, making everything clean, tidying it only for it to be untidied. It's a pointless task, except if we're in that garden, our feet are firmly planted on Him. No, everything is far bigger than these little tasks that we're doing. It makes a difference when we have those awkward social encounters. We've got to get through. Yeah, but we're held by God. Our feet are on Him, the unmovable one. That makes everything totally different. With our feet on the rock, with our feet on Him, well, nothing could be better. We couldn't be in a better place to face the things of the week and to have our feet firmly planted in Him. Let's worship together then as we prepare to encounter God in communion, in bread and